Support for this podcast and the following message come from the United States Postal Service. Turn shipping to your advantage with USPS Ground Advantage service. Learn how to gain a competitive edge at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
A lot of times I tell someone, it's okay for you to tell my story, because you don't know who you may be talking to that could put their finger right there on that point. You never know.
I'm Janine Zeitlin, and this is The Last Ride from the USA Today Network Florida and WGCU Public Media, distributed by the NPR Network. Episode 9, An Anniversary, A Birthday. I wanted to share a conversation I had with Marcia Williams, the mother of Terrence Williams, after The Last Ride was broadcast. I interviewed her in early January 2024 for WGCU, an NPR affiliate here in Southwest Florida. It was the week before the 20th anniversary of Terrence's disappearance, days from when Terrence would have turned 48. He vanished right before his birthday. It was an emotional conversation. Marcia reflected on Terrence and how his disappearance has changed her. She and Terrence were very close. He was her only child. If you haven't listened to all 8 episodes of The Last Ride, please do so. It is the most in-depth journalism to date about the disappearances of Terrence Williams and Felipe Santos, who vanished 3 months apart in Naples, Florida. They were both last seen with the same, now ex, Collier County Sheriff's Deputy, Stephen Calkins. For those of you who have already listened to the podcast and shared it with others, thank you. I appreciate it. The podcast team appreciates it. And most importantly, Marcia appreciates that more people know about the story. Here's our conversation. So our guest is Naples resident Marcia Williams. And I first met Marcia not long after her son, Terrence Williams, went missing in 2004. At the time, I was working as a reporter for the Naples Daily News. Now I'm a producer at WGCU. And this week, on January 12th, it will be 20 years since Terrence went missing. You and the family of Felipe Santos still very much deserve answers. What is it like for you to still be talking about this?
I'm just speechless about it. I can't explain it. I can't tell you how I'm feeling. I'm just speechless. I sit and I think a lot about what to do next.
Marcia and I are looking at each other, and I see your eyes are starting to well up. And it is very surreal to still be talking about this tragedy that, you know, Terrence went missing in Naples, and this is a tragedy that's affected your family and affected the community. But I don't want to, you know, I want to make sure that we honor Terrence's memory as well, the memory of Terrence. So you and I have talked about this before. What are some things that you think about? What do you want people to know about Terrence? And what are the memories that come up about him that, you know, that stick with you in those quiet moments?
He would always say, "Hello, Mother." We would go shopping a lot, watch TV, talk about certain things, the Bible, books that he would read. All of that goes through my mind. Even the cologne that he would wear, how he would dress. And what if he was still here with me now? What would we be doing?
And do you have any feelings about, like, what would you be doing? Like, what do you think you, when you think about, I don't, and maybe that's too painful to talk about.
Well, at this point, his children are young adults now, so I'm really sure that he would be teaching them, coaching them along the way. And the one girl, she was his baby. So she would be leaning on him a lot. Yeah.
And before he went missing, he shared some dreams with you for what he wanted to do with his life. What were some of those dreams?
The biggest dream was to open up a barbershop. That was his biggest dream. He was about to accomplish that. Someone was helping him. And right when he disappeared, it went out the door. And of course, he wanted all of his children to be with him. Those were his two biggest dreams.
And when you and I are talking, I'm thinking, you know, when someone disappears, it's not just the person. It's the family. It's the grandchildren, the neighbors, the cousins, everyone. Everyone suffers.
Everyone, I can speak for myself. I know I'm different now. I'm not the person that I used to be. More quiet, think a lot, and to myself, especially when I go home. During the day, I have to be with my team workers and laugh and smile. But when I get home, it's just like, I'm just quiet.
Well, why do you think that's the case?
I think a lot. Sometimes things come to me, what to do next. Or I may make a phone call to someone. That's just me. And to be honest, I don't even care to talk on the phone after I get home. That's my quiet time. I'm not saying that it's giving me peace, because it's not, because my mind is steadily running, even at night, in the bed, sleep.
And when you talk about what to do next, you mentioned that. Like, what are some things that you hope to do next, or what are some thoughts that you have about what to do next?
Where could I go and search? Who can I call about that? Sometimes things come to me that I question. I can't say what they are. I can't think of what they are. And that's when I might make a phone call to someone. But searching a little bit further out, it may be something out there.
And when you say further out, where could that be?
Picanee Strand, that's further out. Just different areas. I once read a book. It's called Under a Wave. It gave me a lot of ideas. And that book, the names were changed or curved. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's about Terrence. To me.
I'll have to pick it up. I haven't heard of it before.
It's a very interesting book.
Some people have mentioned, the Gulf of Mexico, like potentially Felipe or Terrence might have been in the Gulf. Maybe their bodies are in the Gulf. Have you thought about that? Have there been searches of the Gulf?
Not that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to think that, because if that's so, we won't find them. And in my heart, I believe that we will find them.
And why do you believe that so strongly? How do you keep that hope alive?
I just feel it in my gut. How can two men disappear, the same everything? I feel as if they're hidden. I don't know why I feel that way, but I feel as if they are hidden somewhere.
So when you talk about searches and additional searches that might be needed, who would do that? And have you reached out to any of the agencies or the organizations that might help with that?
I have not. I have not reached out to CCSO. The only person that I will talk to is my advocate, Monica. When she does come to town, we put it out there. If it's somewhere that the team thinks that they should look, they go there.
Are they coming to town anytime soon, or are there plans in the works too?
I'm sure there are plans in the works, because it has been a few years since she's been here. But in March, I will see her at the Missing Persons Conference.
So at that point, do you think you guys will talk about what to do next? And
we'll probably talk before. Yeah.
And you said you haven't talked to CCSO. Is there a reason for that?
This tragedy, Janine, has left me a little, I'm not going to say a little, a lot paranoid, not trusting, because in the beginning, a few things happened that I didn't appreciate. and I did not know who to speak with, because if I speak with someone that's confidential, it's not for you to go back and tell someone else. And that's what happened.
Within the sheriff's office?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So just to provide a little context for people who might not know about the case, initially the Collier County, you went to the Collier County Sheriff's Office, and they were unhelpful in trying to find Terrence. Can you talk a little bit about what you faced in that kind of those initial early days?
Initially, I was told if he's not in danger, I couldn't file a police report, a missing persons report. They were not so helpful in the beginning. I had to end up going to the Lee County Sheriff's Department in order to file that report. So that from that point, there was another reason why I did not believe in CCSO.
So in later years, they have done a lot more. They've done searches. Do you feel like it's been enough?
Oh, no, it's never enough. It would never be enough until we find him. Not to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could go places by myself, but is it safe? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Mm-hmm.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, an automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares why Betterment believes cash can be a strategic choice.
There are times when the market is volatile, when customers are a little nervous about investing. We came to understand that there was an opportunity to introduce cash as part of an investing strategy and to give back yields to the customer.
Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, an automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares why accessibility is central to Betterment's mission.
The real innovation for Betterment was taking a set of tools that were used by the ultra wealthy and making them accessible to the average investor. And that includes tax strategies, that includes dollar cost averaging. These are all sort of tricks of the trade.
Learn more about automated investing technology at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Bluehost. Try Bluehost Cloud, the hosting plan made for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, fast load times, and 24/7 support, your sites can handle high traffic spikes. Visit Bluehost.com.
That was another question I had, because I think deeply reporting on this case, it makes me a little paranoid too about who to trust and what to trust. Do you feel safe here in Southwest Florida?
In God's hands, yes. Yes.
What would you say, based on, you know, your 20 years of experience of dealing with law enforcement or not dealing with them necessarily directly? Now, what would you say is your view of law enforcement in Southwest Florida, based upon your experiences?
Have I heard of good things that they do? Yeah. I'll go like, okay, you're growing. You're growing. But you should also be willing to help any and everybody, no matter the color. Then when Terrence disappeared, I think there was an issue. I really do. Because they were not so nice.
Do you see any signs that they've changed since then?
I'm not out there enough to see. I go to work, go to the store, go home. And that's keeping me safe.
So I can't imagine, you know, carrying around this level of trauma for this long, for 20 years. When you meet new people, do you tell them about what happened? Is there a particular moment when you say, yeah, I feel safe with this person, I'm going to share my story?
I have to really get to know that person. And then if something says it's okay, I'll just give them the information. Most of the time I give them the card that I have, that I carry, and just ask them to Google it. Everybody have problems. Everybody wants to talk to someone. And if it comes to me like that, I said, okay, let me tell you a little bit about me. Read about my story. So that's how I do it most of the time. Most of the time.
Can you describe the card that you mentioned?
It's a card with the picture of Terrence on one side and the reward being offered by Tyler Perry. And the opposite side is Felipe, the same.
And you've always, since the disappearance has happened, have made sure to mention the family of Felipe Santos as well. Why is it important for you to keep, you know, he's not your son, but why is it important to keep both of their names in the collective consciousness of?
They were both put in the back of the same police cruiser. They both encountered Deputy Calkins. So they go together.
You had mentioned Tyler Perry. And can you describe what Tyler Perry has done for the cases and done for you personally and where things stand with your relationship with Tyler Perry?
I can call him anytime. That's never going to change. He's been great. He reached out to Ben Crump. And, of course, there was a news conference held. So we do keep in touch.
And is there anything that he could do now to help move the case forward or to promote more investigation?
That would be something that he and I would have to discuss, yeah.
And one of the things as well, so we did a podcast on the disappearances that ran over 8 episodes. And I know you listened to at least a few episodes because we were messaging back and forth. But did you hear from anyone after the podcast? And what was it like for you to see that, to hear it? Or were you able to listen to all of it?
I listened to all of it. And thank you so much. It was really amazing. It just took me back. It took me back. Can't tell you what I thought about just listening. This is always going to be my trial.
I heard after the podcast, and thank you. I appreciate your kind words because it's, you know, it's one of the saddest cases and the most mysterious cases I've covered as a reporter. And it was important for me to do as much as I could do in my own capacity as a journalist to properly tell your story. And honestly, that was one of the things I worried about most in doing this, that it could like re-traumatize you or re-traumatize family members of Felipe Santos as well. So I'm glad to hear that it sounds like it didn't have that impact, but it did bring a lot more listeners. It brought a lot of people, you know, I think it received more than about 1.5 million downloads at this point. So I heard from a lot of people saying, what can we do? This is terrible. You know, what can we do? Some people have signed petitions. Some people have written letters. But I want to ask you, like, from your perspective, what can people do if they're upset about the circumstances of these disappearances?
Question, could the DOJ be more involved? How involved they are, I don't know, because I don't know everything. But could they call and say, this is what we want to do, this is what we are going to do? Make more and more people aware. A lot of times I tell someone, it's okay for you to tell my story because you don't know who you may be talking to. That could put their finger right there on that point. You never know.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor, Lisa. Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit Lisa.com to learn more. That's LEESA.com.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Bombas. Bombas makes absurdly soft socks, underwear, and T-shirts. And for every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness. Get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/NPR and use code NPR.
Just to give a little more background, the lawsuit that you filed against Stephen Calkins, it ended basically because of a missed deadline. What was it like for you to see it end in that way?
Shame on the judge that made that decision. Because at that time, COVID was rampant. It was everywhere. Shame on the judge.
Are you still being represented by Ben Crump?
Yes.
Has he shared anything that you all could do or that you could do? Are there any other legal avenues to pursue the case?
We need evidence. We need evidence. And that's what we're trying to discover.
So it sounds like there might not be a legal route. It would have to come through a search or some kind of discovery of evidence, like a tip or something like
yes.
that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So based upon what you said earlier, it sounds like you do still have hope. How do you keep that alive?
I just keep putting his name out there. This is my son. And you meet people and people go, "Do you have any children?" Sometimes that makes me uncomfortable. And I'll tell them, I did have a son. If they leave it at that, that's okay.
So you won't necessarily share the whole story.
Sometimes I just don't feel safe at doing it, or I haven't built up enough trust to tell them. And sometimes when you tell someone my story, instead of them saying, "I'm so sorry, I'm going to pray for you or pray with you," they look at me strange. They don't know what else to say. That's why I'm very cautious. Yeah, but most people that know Terrence's mother, they know how to make me smile. And they just treat me like a normal person, which I am normal. I just have a tragedy in my life.
How have you learned to cope with this immense tragedy and still move forward and still advocate for your son?
God's grace. That's all I can say, Janine. Because if I tried to do it by myself on my own, it wouldn't work. And I want to keep on living in order to get to the end. Think about my grandkids, just everybody. So I have to keep pushing.
Is there anything else you'd like to offer in this conversation or express?
That I miss my son so much. I tell him that all of the time. all of the time. He's always close to me. And I just wonder what would he have been like at his age now.
And how old would he have been?
He would have been 47. Of course, his birthday is coming up 5 days after the 12th.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry because this is going to be a rough week for you.
It always is. Yeah. So a few more quiet moments. And every year I say happy birthday to him. I post it on Facebook.
And what day would that be?
The 17th.
Well, thank you, Marcia, for taking the time. And I'm sorry that we are talking about painful subjects, but I also feel like your story is so important. And I think it could help other people to learn kind of how you have managed to keep moving forward and keep fighting for your son. So thank you for being here with us.
Thank you, Janine.
It was good to see you.
Good to see you.
If you have any information about these cases that could be helpful, please call Southwest Florida Crime Stoppers at 1-800-780-8477. You can also submit a tip on Q Center for Missing Persons website, ncmissingpersons.org. This show was produced by Mike Canary, Richard Cinqui, and me. Original theme music by Christopher Russell. The Last Ride was a collaboration of the USA Today Network Florida and WGCU Public Media and was distributed by the NPR Network.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Every time you drive your car, have a package delivered, or get on a plane, you're polluting the climate. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Nature is powerful. Why don't we use it to our advantage?
Meet the people working on cleaner ways to get around on Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR. Transportation Climate Solutions on Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.